This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. This is your old fuddy daddy buddy, Tim Michaels, in the bearskin rug, rocking your world. It's a Radioactive Tuesday, September 15th, 1959. Denny Anderson has the 6 o'clock Nikita News. Cool Cal is up on new Packer coach Vince Lombardi getting the tail unders in gear. And Superior State Sociology professor Picklemeyer says life in America is real gone compared to Nikita's world.
Guys, still can't believe that Ike allowed that commie-in-chief to come here.
Give the guy a chance. You never know. Maybe it's time we bury the hatchet. Besides, he's got a nice smile.
He's got a nice smile.
Yeah.
He puts up an iron curtain, and you say he's got a nice smile. I suppose you like his dimples, too. Life behind that iron curtain is no vacation, buddy.
That's precisely what I hope to address in my address.
And Stalin put up the iron curtain.
And what's he doing dressing a dress with an address?
This sounds like it might be a long half hour.
And a jolly smile says a lot about a body.
It'll be a blast, Denny. East End Hardware brings us Nikita's news. They're having a 10-day fall event with giant savings throughout the store, including an aluminum thermos for just $1.88. East End Hardware gives S&H green stamps. Dial 85050. Now the DA.
Communist strongman visits the U.S. on what he calls a mission of peace for the world and gets a cool reception from crowds in Washington. And the U.S. calls off another Vanguard rocket launch. We begin our world report from the nation's capital.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev began his historic American visit today with an appeal for neighborly relations between communist and capitalist states and a sharp reminder that the Soviet Union has beaten the United States in the race to the moon. President Eisenhower told the chubby communist leader the United States could never launch an aggressive war because the American people rule the country and are devoted to peace. In the president's welcoming speech was the clear implication that Russia had no such built-in restraints against aggression. The Soviet premier arrived by plane at Andrews Air Force Base near Washington after a 12-hour flight from Moscow. While a curious but quiet crowd looked on at the airfield, the serious-faced Soviet leader heard the president express the hopes of the United States for a just, universal, and enduring peace, end quote. It was a momentous scene in the gleaming sunlight. In a sense, two worlds were meeting for the first time. Never before had a master of Soviet communism set foot in the United States. When the president's welcoming remarks were translated, the Soviet premier applauded. Then, smiling, he approached the microphone, donned his spectacles, and said there should be no obstacles to good relations between the countries. He comes to the United States with an open heart and good intentions. In referring to the Soviet triumph over the weekend in planting a rocket on the moon, Khrushchev said, quote, "Our Earth has become somewhat lighter, while the moon has gained some 100 pounds of weight." Khrushchev brought with him a duplicate of the Soviet moon pennant to present to Eisenhower. Khrushchev's huge plane, the world's biggest civilian airliner, touched down at Andrews Base at 12:21 p.m. A crowd, which had grown steadily since morning, lined the waist-high fence around the airfield decked with breeze-whipped Soviet and American flags. Eisenhower walked to the end of the taxiing strip, waited there when it came to a stop. A military brass band blared a martial air as the doors opened and the beaming Soviet leader emerged. The two most powerful leaders in the world shook hands. Smiling, Khrushchev waved his Hamburg hat as he and the president walked toward the hardwood-polished platform nearby. The two walked between the lines of an honor guard. Khrushchev's wife, the buxom Nina Petrovna Khrushcheva, followed close behind her husband. Their two daughters and the official party followed. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Lyle C. Wilson on Capitol Hill. President Eisenhower and the State Department braced themselves today for a propaganda battle royal during Nikita Khrushchev's visit. Probably nothing quite like it has ever been seen before, unless Vice President Richard Nixon's kitchen debate with Khrushchev in Moscow last July can be considered a precedent. The Soviet leader will wage a selling campaign from Washington to Disneyland and back again on behalf of communism and Soviet policies dealing with world problems. Ike has no intention of letting him have the field to himself. Responsibility responsibility for meeting the challenge has been delegated to United Nations Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, a veteran of many clashes with spokesmen of communist nations. In addition, any assertions by Khrushchev that merit the president's personal attention and a White House statement to set the record straight will get such treatment. But Eisenhower has ruled out any public discussions between himself and his Soviet guest. He decided weeks ago that their talks be private, forthright discussions of policy differences and be devoid of propaganda coloration so far as possible. Lodge and his staff of expert aides will accompany Khrushchev on his trip as well as take part in the Washington activities. They are not going out looking for a fight. The dangers of the Khrushchev campaign were foreseen by Eisenhower last June when he was considering whether to invite the Soviet premier to come here. He finally decided that the possibility of improvement in U.S.-Soviet relations, with what that could mean for ending the nuclear arms race and the Cold War, outweighed the risks he would have to take. One of the dangers which has concerned U.S. officials for years is the possibility that someone or some group impelled by hatred of communist oppression in Eastern Europe would make a demonstration of violence against Khrushchev. The most elaborate security measures in American history involving thousands of policemen and guards have been taken. There is also the chance that Khrushchev may use his trip here and Eisenhower's return visit to the USSR late this year to split the United States apart from its allies. Eisenhower hopes that Khrushchev and he will at least get a better understanding of their differences by talking informally, and that Khrushchev himself will get a clearer notion of the United States and its people than he could possibly have had without coming here. In the nation's capital, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Michael Leland in New York. Many Americans got their feelings about communism off their chests yesterday, well in advance of the arrival of Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev for his United States tour. Motivated by the government's plea for courtesy to an important visitor, church organizations and Eastern European groups staged pre-arrival protest demonstrations. Most groups said they would not demonstrate, at least not violently, while the Soviet leader and his party are on U.S. soil. Many sections of the country saw anti-Khrushchev parades, rallies, and mourning protests. Many newspapers carried paid editorials calling on Americans to mourn and warning against the dangers of too much friendliness toward the communists. In Rochester, New York, and New Haven, Connecticut, persons of East European origin held silent marches. A Hungarian church in New York is draped inside and out with black for the entire 12 days of the Soviet leader's visit. In Boston, two men draped the outdoor plaque of the Declaration of Independence. In Washington, Polish-American Josef Motmoroz was carrying out a promise made in a letter to President Eisenhower and is on a hunger strike. He says he would be in the crowd greeting Khrushchev and would be wearing a black armband. Similar armbands and car stickers denouncing Khrushchev were distributed at the Washington headquarters of the Committee for the Freedom of All People. Stickers passed out in New York read, "Don't have a crush on Khrush, it's you he wants to crush." The Des Moines City Council heard a minister urge them to take action to oppose Khrushchev's visit to Iowa to see American farm life and farming methods. The council took no action. In New York, this is Michael Leland, Associated Press.
This is Duke Skorich at Cape Canaveral. Evidence obtained by Western World Instruments backs up the Soviet Union's claim that the Soviet moon rocket actually hit the moon. At the same time, NASA says it has no information on any Soviet moon rocket failures preceding that successful attempt. Vice President Richard Nixon told newsmen in New York there were three such failures. He also commented that there was no official proof that the Soviet rocket hit the moon. Even before today's report on Western instrument readings, U.S. scientists had assumed success and sent congratulations. The United States is known to be watching Soviet ballistic missile launching tests with long-range radar and conceivably could have knowledge of launching failures, which the Soviets did not announce. At Cape Canaveral, this is Duke Skorich.
An effort to launch the last of the Vanguard rockets with a 100-pound satellite was called off today. Technical difficulties plagued the slender 72-foot rocket, which was scheduled for firing at 12:14 a.m., The countdown reached zero, then was set back for 35 minutes. The cause of the trouble was not revealed. The UN General Assembly opens its 14th session today amid speculation that Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev is preparing a surprise as part of his speech Friday. Diplomats familiar with Soviet thinking expressed doubt that Khrushchev would pass up an opportunity such as this without a new proposal to grab worldwide headlines. Delegates recalled President Eisenhower in an address before the assembly in 1953, caused a world sensation by proposing an international Atoms for Peace agency. This became a reality. The hope is he would bid for cooperation on space exploration or offer a new approach to the disarmament problem. The Capitol turned out thousands today in a restrained, if not cool, reception for Nikita Khrushchev. There was an obvious absence of the enthusiasm that has greeted some high-ranking visitors, such as Britain's Queen Elizabeth. For blocks at a time, there was no applause. It was as if the spectators downtown somehow took a cue from the president, who was seen to smile only once during his formal airport exchange with his visitor. Police estimated that 200,000 people lined the parade route. The estimate when Queen Elizabeth visited Washington in 1957 was about 1 million. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Tim Michaels has this message from East End Hardware.
There's a big fall savings event going on right now for the next big 10 days at East End Hardware in Superior. You get a beautiful 7-piece dinette set, value $89.95 with a coupon $69.95, a savings of $20. And this beautiful bridge set with chairs, the value $27.95, bringing the coupon only $19.95, a savings of $8. Or you get a 16-piece Melmac starter set, value $12.95, with the coupon $7.95. An aluminum lunch kit, $2.99, and a beautiful vacuum bottle, only $1.88. Now, these are just some of the bargains that are going on during the big fall savings event, only for the next 10 days at East End Hardware. Remember, East End Hardware gives S&H green stamps, and they're open Friday nights until 9. Dial 85050. East End Hardware, 22007 East 5th in Superior. Denny?
Air Force officials at the Duluth Air Base today cautioned people arriving at the scene of any military aircraft accident not to remove any part of the wreckage unless it helps save a life. Officials cited as an example the crash of a B-47 jet bomber near the Duluth Airport in December 1957. At that time, onlookers removed parts of the wreckage and caused an intensive search by FBI agents to recover the missing parts. Zenith Dredge Company of Duluth has been asked to determine the chances of raising a 115-ton diesel locomotive from the channel in front of the Northern Pacific Railroad Bridge on the Wisconsin side. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
The unattended unit went off the track Sunday morning while the bridge was open for a passing boat to go through. It plunged into 30 feet of water. Northern Pacific Assistant Superintendent F.A. Anderson says Zenith Dredge is investigating how to raise the diesel. A diver is expected to go down today to determine what position the engine is in and other facts related to removing it. The locomotive had been brought out of the roundhouse on the Duluth side and allowed to stand with the motor running. For some unknown reason, it moved across the closed guard rail and increased its speed to the railroad pier, Denny.
Senator William Proxmire announced a barnstorming trip through Wisconsin to begin in northern Wisconsin September 17th in 2 days and continue until Congress reconvenes January 6th. Proxmire will visit Superior on September 26th. His visit here will coincide with the visit of Massachusetts Senator John Kennedy, who will speak that night at Central High School. Finally, the temperature sank to a record 110 degrees below zero at the United States South Pole Station Sunday. That was from a message received from American headquarters in Christchurch today. Cold enough for you, Tim?
I've had some cold days, D.A. I could tell you some stories.
No, Tim. That's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
With all the news from the South Pole, Denny Anderson, the DA. The magic weather ball for this Tuesday, September 15th, 1959. The chill is in the air, baby, tonight with a low of 44 in Superior. But check out the Duluth hillside. Scattered frost tonight with a low of 34. How do you scatter frost? It'll be sweet tomorrow with sunshine and a high of 60 on the old Mercury stick. Here's 28-year-old Georgian and Floridian, born in one and raised in the other. Say all right. All right. This is Ray Charles, and what I say on the Tim Michaels Swingin' Dance Party.
wrong. Come and love you, Daddy, all night long, all right now. Hey, hey, all right. See the girl with the diamond ring. She knows how to shake that thing, all right now, now. I'm gonna send you back to Arkansas. Oh, yes, ma'am. You don't do right. Don't do right. Oh, pray for it.
Charles has been blind since he was 7 years old. He learned the piano, sax, and clarinet and writes a real guy in 45. And we're digging What I Say by Ray Charles here on Kickin' KUWS. His Cool Cat sound was influenced by Nat King Cole. Big important blasto announcement. The Bennett Homemakers Club is having a donut sale. The bread they make from the donuts will go to the Superior Memorial Hospital. The promotion is a door-to-door canvas, so it's door-to-donuts, cats and kittens. Mrs. Lee Uphouse and Mrs. Herman Alger are doing the canvassing. I hope they don't eat all the donuts. Zin's Master Brett is making the donuts. The end.
The end?
Just like the movies. Like that cool flick at the Beacon, North by Northwest. Oh, man, everybody's talking about it.
You plug it on the air and you get a free ticket?
That's real gun, baby, but I get leftover popcorn.
Professor Picklemeyer is in next, along with Colonel Raffaele, to talk about living in the Soviet Union.
Oh, no way is the Colonel going to move to Moscow.
They're going to talk about what it's like to live in the Soviet Union. It goes well with Khrushchev visiting the United States.
Topical, eh? Oh, man, what a guess. All right, cats and kittens, time to drift off right now with the Drifters and their latest This Magic Moment on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other until I kiss you, and then it happened. It took me by surprise. I knew that you felt it too by the look in your eyes, sweeter than wine, softer than the summer night. Everything I want, I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, while your lips are close to mine, will last forever. Forever till the end of time. Sweeter than wine, softer than the summer night. Everything I want, I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment,
while your lips are close to mine, will last forever. Forever till the end of time. Oh, fancy boy, fancy boy, fancy boy.
Sweeter than wine. That's new from the Drifters, this magic moment hitting the 1959 Billboard Top 10 chart this summer.
Now it's time for Civil Defense Siren Horn something 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 Colonel Joseph Buster Raffaele and Superior State Sociology Professor Luther Picklemeyer.
Something something something.
Your title is too long.
You know it is too long. You should see the size of my business card. Well, I'll tell you what. I just want to start out on a happy chord before we get into the bleak business of that commie leader.
Happy chord?
Since when do we have happy chords?
Hey, the colonel's got plenty of happy chords. Like Dale Severson, a paperboy with the Evening Telegram. He's the first to qualify for a trip to Minneapolis. The kid sold a bunch of subscriptions. The Telegram is taking the whole herd of these boys to the cities to take in a Lakers game, a movie, and all they can eat. Well, and that's a lot. Have you seen that Severson kid?
So what's the deal with this happy chord junk?
The colonel's image has suffered with the rugrats over the years, and I'm tired of hosing egg off of my house from those little JDs.
Goodness, Colonel Raffaele, you can't change your image by calling all teenagers rugrats and juvenile delinquents.
The long hair's right. It isn't easy to get kids to think I don't hate them. Well, I don't. They're America's future. And generally tolerable as long as they stay out of my yard.
And now we're back to Soviet leader Khrushchev's visit.
Starting today, Nikita Khrushchev will get a first-hand idea of what he must do if he is to deliver on promises he has made to the people of the Soviet Union to match and overtake the living standards of the United States of America, or bury us, as he so infamously commented.
No way, Jose, or Ivan.
The communist boss likely will see America through the eyes of one whose life has been ruled by inflexible Marxist-Leninist theories. Probably he will remain convinced the U.S. system inevitably must collapse, and thus the superiority of the American way must be regarded as temporary.
Fiddle, paddle, fiddle, paddle.
We must admit the USSR has come a long way, even in the 5 years of the Khrushchev era. Nonetheless, under any system, mighty development would have been certain in these modern times for so naturally rich a land. Its strides in technology, science, and military might are well known. But it lags badly behind Western Europe and far behind the United States in terms of people's material well-being.
You're darn tootin'.
Let's not get vulgar, Colonel.
If darn tootin' is swearin', you need to go to a few bars on the north end of Tower Avenue. It'll turn your hair even bluer than it is now.
The Soviet people should be much better off than they are. Their land is vast, 3 times the size of the United States. It has about every resource it needs, but its political system has impeded all-around development. The system has, however, produced a privileged class. Surprisingly, it is extremely difficult to become a communist in the USSR. Membership is open only to those the party calls the politically mature. Party members often have the best jobs.
Sounds like the Republican Party.
Hey, you watch your mouth there, smarty pants.
Again, I fail to see how either is plausible. You can't possibly watch your mouth, at least not without a mirror, and pants have no cognitive ability.
There could be a better flow to the professor's talk without all this extemporaneous discourse.
Extemporaneous, that's a five-syllable word, wow.
Yeah, that would be a first for this radio show.
If I may, a ranking communist can have a private town apartment, a country dacha or bungalow, and automobile. He often has a chauffeur and servants. His wife may scorn Moscow dressmakers and have her clothes made in Riga, or, if she's ultra-fashionable, imported from Paris. The average worker now probably earns 800 to 900 rubles monthly, or $80 to $90 in our currency.
90 bucks a month? Is that bad? Should I ask for more?
One of the biggest consumer economic problems is a severe housing shortage. It is common for a Russian family of four or more to be crowded into a single room.
many families must share a kitchen and other sanitary facilities. Another sore spot is a severe manpower shortage. This requires use of women for heavy labor. Almost half the labor force is made up of women. Freeing them from it would cut the force in half, have a telling effect on the economy, and weaken the military. Thusly, Khrushchev's world is vastly different from ours. We should count our lucky stars that we live in this land of opportunity. Darn tootin'.
Doesn't sound profane when the professor says it.
He does give it a ring of respectability.
He kind of does, doesn't he? Dagnabbit.
Been watching Yosemite Sam, have we, Colonel?
The rootin', tootin'est character around.
The roughest, toughest hombre that's ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Yes, he's a unique study in sociological laboratories.
Any of you lily-livered, bow-legged varmints care to slap leather with me?
You're darn crazy, Galoot.
This calls for a KUWS Wonder Why Twin Spin with Dion and the Belmonts, and I wonder why. And the rootinest, tootinest, hootinest, shootinest bobtail wildcat in the West Show, I'd say, boy.
No, why? Love you like I do. No, why? Don't know why I love you.
Middle of a KUWS twin spin, and time now for Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Why do fools fall in love?
In love.
1956, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Why Do Fools Fall in Love on the Rip Rarnus Why Twin Spin on Kickin' KUWS. Now, Cool Cal Sabatini has the sports, you crazy galoot, you big palooka, you silver-tongued devil.
All right, don't rush me. I'm a-thinking, and my head hurts. Let's face off, fans. The Green Bay Packers, listless tail-enders in the Western Conference of the National Football League last year, are showing real zip in winning three of their five exhibition games. Why? There is a partial answer from two veterans who joined the club last week after a stretch in military service. They are blocking back and in Ron Kramer and linebacker Ray Nitschke. Nitschke says everybody is punctual. Coach Lombardi is really organized. Kramer, who checked in at 220 pounds, says the most encouraging thing I've observed is their attitude. The former Michigan great hasn't had a football in his hands since summoned by the Air Force last year. Nitschke is also out of shape, but did see some action in the 2013 victory Sunday over the Skins of Washington. There wasn't a player in camp willing to say this is a real tough camp, but there are hints Lombardi is a tough hombre. Asked about a curfew, and Gary Knoefel says, you don't need one here. Everybody begs to go to bed. Then there's the matter of condition. There's not a player in camp over 260. Tackle Dave Hanner has slimmed down from 283 to 258. Linebacker Tom Bettis arrived at 243. He's down to 215. Halfback Paul Corning tips the scales at 212, a loss of 18 pounds in camp. It was also the first time in 8 weeks the players saw their wives and children. Invited by Coach Lombardi to the resort that is the Packers' headquarters in Pewaukee. Fullback Jim Taylor sums it up, how my little girl has grown. It's pretty nice being with the family again. Bob Buell was a great pitcher for 8 innings. Don McMahon was even better for 1. Del Crandall was a home run slugger and Billy Bruton a clutch hitter as the Milwaukee Braves drew closer in the National League race last night. In an excitement-packed performance, the Braves whipped the Dodgers of Los Angeles 4-1 to take sole possession of second place, only a game behind the league-leading San Francisco Giants, who lost. Buell sailed through the first 8 innings, allowing only 1 hit, but loaded the bases in the 9th with no one out. Along came Big Don McMahon to retire 1 batter on a soft line drive and fan the next 2 to end the game. In the other summer game, a 190-pound, 18-year-old Ohio State junior, billed like an All-American football player, is making his presence felt in the 59 U.S. Amateur Golf Tournament. Pharmacy student Jack Nicklaus of Columbus, Ohio, passed his initial test by taking out Robert Tyre Jones of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, son of the immortal golf star Bobby Jones. And anglers, they're landing the best fish in Sawyer County. Warden Earl Gingles says fish are moving quite well in spite of high water. And in Washburn County, Wardens Cliff Freeman and Dave Swenson say walleyes are starting to hit again in Slim Lake, Big Mackenzie, Nancy Lake, and some of the Minong flowage. This is Cal Sabatini hoping all your face-offs are friendly.
Hey, you know, this Lombardi guy, he's kind of going ape with a pack.
He's flat-out going to bring the title back to the town.
Title tone. Man, that's got a good ring to it. Time for Bobby Darin to bring us home with his newest hit, 45, Mack the Knife, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth big, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves those wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mack the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know? Where a cement bed just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight is there. Five will get you 10 old Mackies back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe. After drawing out all his hard-earned cash, and now Maggie's been just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Not to have a hope, it's to be tawdry. Miss Lotta Linda and Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town. I said, Jenny Diver, whoa, Susie Tawdry, look out to Miss Lotta Linda and old Lucy Brown. If that line forms on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
Number one on the Billboard charts, Bobby Darin and Mac the Knife on Kickin' KUWS. Oh, the shark has those pretty white teeth, and he shows those pearly whites. Speaking of the devil, here's Colonel Raffoli.
Well, that's a pretty good description of Nikita on his American vacation. Well, I'm here to tell every good American not to be fooled by this guy. He might look like the fella who hands out the bowling shoes at the local alley and everybody's vodka buddy, but watch him. It's all a bunch of sneaky commie deception. Just remember, war is hell, even if it's a cold one. Now, I guess he's going to visit farms in Iowa. Well, he'd just better watch out for the crop dusters and watch his step.
War is hell, even if it's a cold one?
That's pretty good, especially for the colonel.
But what's this crop dusting reference about?
Well, that was me and the colonel.
That's the colonel and I.
You mean you and the colonel had a crop-dusting dust-up, too?
Well, look, Longhair, you're all right and everything, but you and me, we didn't do nothing together.
Me and him.
He and I.
You mean you and the colonel had a crop-dusting dust-up, too?
Oh, my skin is beginning to crawl.
Colonel Raffoli and yours truly, Joe Gardonio. That'll work. Saw a matinee of North by Northwest today at the Beacon. It's a Hitchcock Cold War spy thriller, and war is hell, even if it's a cold one, was a line in the movie.
Well, that says it all. You got Ivan, I tell you, you ticked me off here in the U.S., and of A, when he really is just spying on the American taxpayer's dime.
Yeah, you see, you've got Martin Landau as the creepy Leonard, and James Mason as Mr. Van Damme, real good bad guys trying to smuggle some top-secret microfilm out of the country in a hideous figurine.
And then you got the good guys. You got Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak and getting in and out of the train sleeper compartments and Mount Rushmore and, oh, my gosh.
That's Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint.
I've got to see this lick, especially the sleeper compartment.
Cary Grant is quite suave ordering a Gibson and having his own book of matches with his initials on it.
My favorite character was played by Leo Carroll as the professor. Suave and debonair, yet decisive.
And with some pretty bad glasses. Look, people, it comes down to this. Those are all the things the Ruskies and the commies are trying to do to take us down. It had the United Nations, something called Unipol.
Yeah, well, my favorite line was when Cary Grant asked Eva Marie, how does a girl like you get to be a girl like you. Ho, 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 it made my teeth tingle.
She's the next famous Hitchcock blonde.
Well, time to cut out Cats and Kittens on the Boob Tube tonight on KDAL-TV. It's Woody Woodpecker. Wanted dead or alive and to tell the truth.
Which no commie leader is ever going to do.
We will be back same time, same sandbox, the good Lord willing, and we don't have to rescue Eva Marie Saint from Mount Rushmore. For Danny Anderson and the gang, it's Tim Michaels here rocking your world.
Hey. The ending just flummoxed me. What was the deal with them back on that train? And then they showed the train going through the tunnel, and then the end.
Yes, I do believe it was a bit of a Hitchcockism, my dear Colonel, and I'll leave it at that.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Crop dusting reference about.
Well, that was me and the Colonel.
That's the Colonel and I.
Hey, you look, mean you and the Colonel
look,
had whoa, a crop
whoa, hold on there,
too?
Long hair. You're all right and everything, but you and me, we didn't do anything together.
I come up with a great ad-lib joke, and the Colonel's going to jump right in on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't... Let's rewind.
Damn, he's so unprofessional.